We often hear about stories where someone becomes a victim of government overreach or bias, and that story is usually called, quote, an extreme example. Well, is it? Well, if so, then how can that be when we have the U.S. Constitution as our foundation directing what's allowed and what isn't? That's what my next guest writes about in his new book, which is a collection of incidents, which I think will help you realize just how able and willing government at all levels can overreach for, well, you, for example. He presents all this in his book, When They Come For You, How Police and Government Are Trampling Our Liberties and How to Take Them Back, by David Kirby. Thanks for being here today, David.
Happy to be here. How are you?
Great to have you here. DavidKirbyAuthor.com. We have the link over to our page as well, so you can refer to it and, more importantly, find out more about David's work and all his books, including Death at SeaWorld and now When They Come For You. What was your goal with this book? This was, as you write in the introduction, this was a pretty time consuming book to accomplish.
Yes, it is. I probably told at least 100 different stories in it, some longer than others, and that's kind of what I hoped to accomplish, was to curate these stories, find stories that were representative, that had a geographical mix, that had a mix of all different kinds of races and classes and things like that, and to put it all in one place so that people could read it as a whole and hopefully realize that this is a serious problem. This is not just a few isolated incidents, that it can happen to anybody, just about, and that we need to address these issues, either raised in the book, either one at a time or on the larger scale of just protecting the Bill of Rights in general.
Would it be fair to say that the running theme through most of these stories and true life stories is these are cases where people are declared guilty until they can prove themselves innocent?
Well, in a sense, that's probably true. And, of course, a lot of them have been denied due process, guaranteed under the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment. I wouldn't put it that way, but I would say that injustices were done in every single case.
Okay.
And they were treated poorly. Some were arrested under false pretenses. Some had their property taken away for no reason. Some had their kids taken away for no reason. A lot of people have been beat up or killed for no reason. And, you know, none of that involves due process.
That's one of the things I want to focus on to you. The one chapter about Child Protective Services and state-sponsored kidnapping, because these are the stories that you present in your book, When They Come For You, that just doesn't involve the individual. Now they're going after the whole family in these cases. And, I mean, we hear it and maybe even get dismissive of these stories of, well, you know, the Joe Smith brought his kid to the ER for twice in 1 year because the kid keeps falling off a skateboard, and Child Services came in to start investigating because of all that. But that's not as outrageous as it seems, as many people dismiss it to be.
Well, it happens all the time, and medical workers, and I believe school teachers, are required to report suspected child abuse, which is fine, but then what happens next is not fine. Based on even an anonymous tip, often it's a family member who maybe wants custody of the kid, or a disgruntled coworker who's trying to make your life miserable. Once that report gets filed and CPS decides it's legitimate or thinks it is, they come out to the house and they take the kid, no questions asked. Then you have to start a very, very grueling, long, expensive process to try to get your own kid back, even though you've done absolutely nothing wrong. And I have several cases like that in my book.
And these are numerous cases, too. As again, I want to stress the point, really, these aren't exceptions to the rule. These are probably more frequency than people understand. And there was a lot that you couldn't get into this book. Otherwise, the book would be, well, for lack of a better phrase, probably unreadable because just of the sheer size that this could have been.
I ended up cutting an entire chapter. I actually cut one-third of my manuscript. I deleted 65,000 words in a matter of minutes that took me years to write, because it's overwhelming. So I did have to focus. There were other issues I was not able to include. I wish I had, but like you said, the book is long enough already.
but still easy to absorb for someone who is open to understanding the situation that you want to present. And this isn't a right versus left either. I mean, there were victims on both sides of the political spectrum, what you write about.
Oh, absolutely, and perpetrators as well. I criticize the Obama administration as much as I do the Trump administration, but most of these things happen at the state and local level. But you're right, they happen in red states and blue states, rich states and poor states, big cities and little towns. And Child Protective Services, I mean, of all the things I wrote about, this was the most devastating for me. I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine. It's one thing to take away your house or your money or your freedom or to beat you up. It's an entirely different thing to have your child removed from your home by force.
Or even more so to weaponize the child, basically, is what they're doing.
Well, it's kind of what it is. That child is of value to the state. If they can place that child in foster care, they'll give a certain amount of money. If they can place that child in adoption, they'll get even more money, the state, from the federal government. The government pays states to get children into foster care and into adoption. So that's the incentive.
Oh, David Kirby with his new book, When They Come For You, How Police and Government Are Trampling Our Liberties and How to Take Them Back. DavidKirbyAuthor.com is David's website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When you were writing about anything to do with the police, law enforcement, and anyone or anything that falls under that umbrella, how defining did you want to be as opposed to so you wouldn't fall into being accused of making blanket statements?
Well, that's a good question. Again, I think that the number of stories I included and the breadth of stories and all the different types of ways that our rights are abused, I think it's pretty plain. I think it's very obvious to the reader, and that was again my goal.
One of the many ideas that you write about too is I guess now the term would be debtor's prison. Which never made sense, and this is something that you bring about, and there's been reports, NPR did a series on it not a couple of years ago. Where is the common sense in saying, okay, someone has been charged with this crime or has to pay this money, and until you can pay that money, we're going to put you in some place where you can't earn any money?
That's exactly what happens. And it's not that these people won't pay their fees and fines, it's that they just simply can't. My first story in that particular chapter is a young man outside of Atlanta, and he was pulled over because his driver's license was suspended, and he was taken to jail. When he got out, he went to court. The judge imposed the fine. He couldn't pay it. He went back to jail. And then when he got out, he was basically put on a payment program and on probation. They wouldn't restore his driver's license, so he couldn't go out and find work. And he had to pay a private probation company to manage his own case. Meanwhile, the money he owed kept racking up interest. Now, that person actually sued. This was in DeKalb County in Georgia. And established in that county that any poor person who's facing this has a right to an attorney, and if they're poor, they have a right to a court appointed attorney. A lot of the people in these cases are not informed of that. But there are people in jail, thousands of them right now, all over the country, not because of their original crime. I mean, driving without a suspended license, you know, that's not exactly the most serious crime in the world. Most people don't go to jail for that. But for their inability to pay all the fees and fines that they've racked up.
Yeah, we've seen, especially here in New Jersey, that's one of those money grab opportunities that states see, because you have the court fees and you have what they call the license restoration fees, which can parallel the amount of the court fees in some cases.
That's absolutely right.
The turning it over to we the people, as I like to say, and I have something on our website. I call it our DIY Constitutional Scholar Kit, where you can download the Constitution. It was what I found to be at least an unbiased commentary to help people understand each element of the documents, because the Constitution exists to empower the people and not the government. So, but when I read when they come for you, why has that fallen away from some people?
Well, the Constitution was actually designed to restrain the government, particularly the Bill of Rights, as well as protecting individual rights of the people. I don't know the answer to that, but I think things started going downhill after 9/11, with the Patriot Act and the NSA spying on people and all the surveillance that went on, and all the sort of anxiety that created. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I turned my phone down.
Welcome to technology world.
And then I would say things got even worse under the Obama administration. As a journalist, I was very dismayed at their record, particularly when it comes to the First Amendment, when it comes to freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right to protest, even freedom of information. And as a journalist, I noticed a difference. The George W. Bush administration, when it came to filing a Freedom of Information Act, was much more forthcoming than the Obama administration. They spied on reporters at the Associated Press, at Fox News, at CBS News, the Washington Times, and they tried to prosecute a reporter at the New York Times for printing classified information, which the media has the right to do that. If anything, you prosecute the leaker, you don't prosecute the reporter. And now, under the current administration, I think things are getting even worse, and particularly, again, when it comes to the First Amendment. President Trump has threatened to shut down media outlets, to sue reporters. He wants to change the libel laws so that any politician could sue a media outlet for coverage they didn't like. And if you think about that, if that were the case, very few media outlets would dare take on the president for fear of a lawsuit and then all the money involved in defending themselves in court. Only the very, very largest, richest outlets would even dare do that. And that's what's called a chilling effect, and that's what the president wants to impose. He's kicked people out of the press briefings. They've rescinded press passes. And, of course, just calling the media the enemy of the people sort of weakens their stature among a large section of the population.
But then couldn't that be a lesson for not just the media, for people overall? When you are subjected to that, that's the time that you fight back. You just don't throw up your hands and go, well, that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to have to be.
No, but unfortunately, most people, and I was one of them before I started this, don't pay attention, don't know what's going on, and certainly don't think it could ever happen to them. None of the people in my book thought what happened to them could ever happen to them in the United States. And I think that's one shocking aspect of the book, that these people were just going about their daily lives, not committing any crimes. And they all ended up in a world of trouble, and some of them ended up dead.
Which David writes about in When They Come For You, How Police and Government Are Trampling Our Liberties and How to Take Them Back. DavidKirbyAuthor.com. We've linked over at our page to that site as well. And speaking of our site, in light of David's focus in his book, too, download the Constitution Scholar DIY project we have at our site, too, because that, I think, will tandem nicely with what David writes about in When They Come For You. David Kirby, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.